Hello, hello, and God bless you. May heaven smile on your heart is my prayer. I'm Herbert McLean. I'm Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is Wednesday, January the 10th, 2024. I'm excited about this year, as I've already spoken and released. This year is a year of opportunity, a year of availability. If you make yourself available to God, God is going to show you opportunity after opportunity. He's going to open up doors. He's going to close some doors. Realize this, that some closed doors is getting you ready for the next open door that God has for you. So don't despise a closed door, because it's simply redirecting you to the place where God will have you. Amen. I want to talk about the state of the church in 2024. It has been something that has been pressing upon my heart to talk about, definitely in the wake of the T.D. Jakes thing, and then they went over to another preacher and this preacher, and it just is so much to be said about the church that I need to say, I need to bring to the forefront, because it's important. Now, before I get into what I'm getting ready to say about the state of the church here in the 21st century, 2024, I want to define to you what I mean when I say the church, because everybody has their own idea of what the church is. When you say church, in some people's minds, they have their own concept of what the church is, or what they have experienced, or what they know. And so it's important, I think, in order to grasp what I'm getting ready to say, you need to understand the foundation of what I mean when I say the church. What we mean when we say the church as it relates to this teaching. Because I am working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, with biblical authority and prophetic insight. So when I speak, I'm speaking to you within the authority of what God has shown me. Now, we have already explained in previous teachings that I make a distinction when it comes to the church. For one, I distinct the visible church, what we see, from the invisible church. There is a distinction because it's biblical. Now, the Bible doesn't per se actually say invisible or visible, but the understanding of the biblical concept as it relates to the church, making these distinctions will help you in your understanding of what God is doing in the earth. So I'm talking about the invisible church. Throughout this message, I want you to understand that I am speaking about the invisible church. Now, let me define what the invisible church is. The invisible church is the true church. The invisible church is the true church, which only God can see. It's made up of born-again believers of the past that has already lived, of the present, and of the future. We understand that ever since the ascension of our Lord Jesus and his enthronement at the side of the Father, he has an invisible throne. We cannot see it with our eyes. This invisible throne possesses the Holy Spirit. Throughout all eternity, he sent the Holy Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, this invisible church began to live. Hello, Essett, my son. Bless you. So when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the invisible church. Because everyone who attends church every Sunday, or the people who perform religious deeds, every Sunday doesn't necessarily make up the church, because that's the visible church. That's what we see. Not everyone who attends church or perform religious deeds is saved. I have to tell you that. The visible church includes unbelievers. It includes people who are not born again. What we see every Sunday when we ride by and we see the meetings and everything, that's the visible church. That church is made up of true believers and unbelievers. What we see is not always what we see. We can see one thing, but if the eye of the Spirit is not open, you will not see. He says, those who have an ear must hear. Those who have eyes to see, see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. He has to give you this revelation, because this cannot be learned. This has to be revealed. In order for you to see the distinction between the visible church on earth and the invisible church that's on the earth. The invisible church is comprised of the redeemed. It's comprised of those who have been sealed by God. There is no unbeliever in the invisible church. It's impossible. So God sees. Who is the church? We don't. We see the outward manifestation of people coming together, which we call the church in this world. Okay? The invisible church comprised of all the redeemed. The invisible church is spiritual. The invisible church is heavenly. It's not of this world. In John chapter 18, listen what the book say. John chapter 18, verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world. So when I'm speaking about the church with what I'm getting ready to say, this is my intro, 10-minute intro. I'm talking about the invisible church. Jesus explained that the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, there it is, because the kingdom of God is among you. That's in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now, that's the foundation that I'm going to teach upon thus far. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you right now for your holy and divine word. Thank you for this revelation. I pray, Father, that it goes throughout the world. Use not only to encourage those who are already of the faith, but use it as an instrument to expand your kingdom throughout all ages. In Jesus' name, amen. The state of the church in 2024 AD, I want to take a spiritual look at the people of God in the 21st century. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, "And I tell you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We see in Matthew chapter 18 that Jesus promised that he's going to build his church. And let me tell you something, that church is invisible. You can't observe it. It's the kingdom of God that comes upon us and changes the very heart of a man. Remember that God looks at the heart and man looks at the outer appearance. In order for us to see the kingdom of God, our eyes in the spirit must be open. And we must think how God thinks. And we must observe how God observes. Interestingly, he gives us the scripture to understand these things and be able to prove one thing next to another. Taking one spiritual truth and comparing it with another spiritual truth, which bears witness with our spirit that we are the people of God. Jesus, he promises to build his church. And he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that the activities of Satan will not stop what Jesus is doing invisibly, spiritually, his kingdom. He can't stop, he won't stop, and the devil can't stop it. That means what Jesus is doing, he's doing it, and he's doing it perfectly. In John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." We see here that God is the one who gave you eternal life. If you have eternal life, it is an invisible yet real thing that takes place in your life. God gave you that eternal life. And he promises in this verse, you will never perish. That word perish means you will not expire. That word perish means that you will not decline. You will not pass away. That's what he's saying. I gave you that. You might be getting old on the outside, but every day you're being renewed on the inside if you have eternal life, if you are a part of the church. Do you know that the church is still the church even when they come together and when they disassemble? Some people say, well, you know, that there's a church over there, and think that that church is located at that building. But the church is the heart of men who have been redeemed, who have been recipients of eternal life. And he says that no one can snatch you from God's hand. Once God's hand is on you, nobody can take you out of God's hand. God's hand is an invisible hand, but it's a real hand. And when God touches you, other people cannot observe what God is doing in your life. That's why he says, man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. Because what God does is spiritual. No one can snatch you from God's hands. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work. First thing you need to see in this scripture, the Spirit gives confidence in Jesus' work. Come on. The Spirit gives you confidence that what Jesus did in you is real. It's quick, it's alive, it's spiritual, it's real. You can't observe it, you can't see it, because it's working in me. It's Christ in you. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, it's an abiding thing, but it's spiritual. It's the invisible church. The Spirit gives us confidence in Jesus' work. The work of Jesus is a good work. That's how you know it's the Lord. Because he's doing a good thing in you. God is doing a good work in you. Even if you don't deserve it. Even when it was unexpected. Sometimes even when you don't want him to, God is doing a great work in you. He's doing it spiritually. It's real. And you could change, and don't nobody else observe the fact that you changed. Stop trying to get everybody to realize that you have been changed. Let your life be an example instead of your words being a sample of what God is doing in your life. God is doing a good work in you. That's why you're getting better. That's why you're getting stronger. Jesus will bring that work that he's doing in you to completion. That's what he says. I'm sure of this. It gives you confidence that Jesus is doing a good work. Romans 11 chapter verse 29, it says, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Number one, the victory of the church is irrevocable. Notice he says the gifts and the callings. The gifts and the callings are irrevocable. The victory of the church is irrevocable. Irrevocable. It's not able to be changed nor reversed. It's final. That means once God starts on you, it's a done deal. He's going to bring it to completion. And if he's already given the church victory, that victory doesn't decline. God ain't running out of mercy. God is not running out of strength. The state of the church is a victorious church. The state of the church is a triumphant church. Why? Because you are the church. You are the church. It's what's going on inside of your heart. God is doing a good work in you. And when people are judging the church, they're basically judging you. And they're saying, Jesus didn't change you. Jesus ain't helping you. Jesus ain't working nothing out in your life. Because look at what they're doing over there at that church. And look at what they're doing over there at that church. They cannot observe what God is doing. Why do you think It's important to make the distinction between the visible church of what we see with religious activity versus what God is actually doing in the hearts and in the lives of His people all throughout the world. Even those who don't participate in religious activities, God is still doing a good work in your life because you are a part of the invisible church. You love the Lord Jesus. He's working in your life. He's showing things. You may not can go to church. Some people are in the hospital. Some people are in foreign lands and in caves hiding because they're about to get killed. They're looking to be murdered right now. All over the world, this church is a victorious church. We're not declining. We're multiplying. We're not dying. We're living. We are alive. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. The church is living. We are the body of Christ. We are triumphant. We are victorious. We have eternal life. God gave us eternal life. Jesus made it possible that we have a relationship with God. We're not declining. We're not doing bad. We're doing good. Jesus is doing a good work in you. Hallelujah. Victory is a gift from God to the church. Victory is a gift from God to the church. And He says His gifts and His callings are irrevocable. All the way from the first century to the 21st century, God has given victory to the church. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're multiplying. Hearts are changing. People are getting baptized, delivered in the Holy Ghost. He's going throughout the prison. He's going throughout the earth. He's using people all over this world to preach this gospel and to spread His kingdom abroad. We're not doing bad. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, it says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Come on. God's power is guarding His church. Jesus said, the gates of hell won't prevail against this church. This church is doing good. This church is doing strong. Come on now, somebody. We're talking about the true church of God from past, present, and future. Do you know in the future God's going to have people delivered? Can I decree that prophetically? There's a future grace for His church. Future grace. We're not going under. We're the head. Don't judge the church based on what you see religious activities going on in the world. That's not the representation of the kingdom of God. That's the representation of man's religious deeds. It's comprised of both unbeliever and believer. The wheat and the tare. But the true church of God are the redeemed. Are those who have been delivered. Those who have a relationship with Yahweh. Those who have received this great gospel. Has received eternal life. You're the church and you're doing good. Even if you're over in a whole foreign country and they hate people who place faith in Jesus Christ, you're doing good. And the reason why you're doing good is because even if you have to be a martyr to witness this great gospel, that change is taking place in your heart. The power of God is guarding his church through faith in the work of Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Listen, when you are in the hand of Jesus, you are also in the hand of the Father, and no one is able to take away what the Father is doing in your life. It is a perfect work. It is a good work. It is an eternal work. And he's doing his work throughout the earth without hell prevailing against it. So you can talk about the church. You can talk about people who's a part of the church, all the members that you observe of the church, how they gossip about the church. But the true church of God is the redeemed of the Lord. And it doesn't consist of unbelievers. And it doesn't consist of Satan. And it doesn't consist of mischief, because it is the true church of God. And if God is doing a work in your life, it's a perfect work. It's a sanctifying work. It's a progressive work, but it's a work that's getting done. Oh, can I tell you, the state of the church is in a good place. We are victorious. We are expanding. We are in the hand of the Father. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Bible says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You were sealed. Ha. God doesn't lose a battle. He doesn't lose people. Can I tell you that? That if you are his church, you are his. You are his possession. You belong to God. And he's doing a good work. You are sealed until when? The day of redemption. The church ain't losing. We winning. But you got to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Don't be discouraged by what your eyes see and what the people say. Why don't you believe God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we coming to a close, verse 23 to 24, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Listen, God is faithful, and he will surely complete what he has started in you by the work of sanctification. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Even in the midst of evil deeds expressed within the church, we have the promise that the Lord will rescue us from them. That's why he says the gates of hell will not prevail. That don't mean the gates of hell will not fight. That don't mean that hell is not going to try to pluck us out of his hand. It doesn't mean that it's not going to try to snatch us away from this great possession. if Barry so well will try. But they will not prevail. You are sealed until the day of redemption by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Be mindful and sensitive to His presence. That's why He says, don't grieve it. Don't grieve it. You saved. God is doing a work in your life. Honor God. Respect God. Reverence God. Respect the fact that you have been bought with the price, that you are valuable. If you don't allow the devil to mistreat you, can I encourage you? Don't allow the devil to mistreat you. You are a prized possession. You have to be sensitive to the presence of God. Your sensitivity to the presence of God is you valuing God and His decision to redeem you, to make you a part of His family. He didn't have to do it, but He did. He didn't have to open up your eyes to see the beauty of holiness in the face of Jesus Christ. You can't observe this on your own. He had to have reached out His hand of grace and mercy for you to be able to see the things that you see, to understand and comprehend the things that you understand. You've been chosen. You've been selected. You are the church, no matter where you are, whether you come together with the assembly or not. You are God. You are God's church. You are God's man. You are God's woman. And by His Spirit, He's sanctifying you, and He's faithful. That means the good work that He's doing in you, He's faithful every day to make sure that that work gets done. Even if you don't want the work to get done, God is still working on you. Amen. And He will surely complete what He started. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Listen, even in the midst of evil deeds expressed within the church, He has promised that the Lord will rescue us. In John chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Listen, Jesus will not and cannot lose anyone of His church to the devil. If they are part of the local assembly and they leave the church, don't judge that like you may see it, like you may understand. Because just because they left that local congregation don't mean that they left God. It don't mean that God ain't still working on their heart. That's just you observing things from a perspective of man and not seeing things from God's perspective. How God has revealed to us in the scripture. Notice that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, I want to take the B clause of that verse. And it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. He's not destroying the works of the devil when people come and congregate and assemble for a church service throughout the course of the week. Right? Why? Because they're going to worship God. Right? they're going to get in the presence of God. The devil, he just steps aside and lets you worship. He can't stop you from worshiping God if you want to worship God. You know that. Because Jesus has freed you from the power of the devil, so you no longer are up under his power anymore. You can worship God freely. You're the church. You don't have to go to a local assembly to worship. You can worship anytime, anywhere. When you do come locally in corporate worship, that's even more power. Because where two or three are gathered, there is a tangible anointing. So I'm not speaking against the visible church, because it's necessary that the wheat grow with the tare. All things in scripture are necessary, but I want you to see the distinction so that you will understand that the church is not defeated. The church is not going under. The church is not losing, okay? We are victorious, my goodness. We are powerful. We are the kingdom of God. And he is destroying the works of the devil throughout everyday life, in the houses, in the neighborhoods, in the community. And so we see all this evil sporadically, and the news covers it dramatically. But they don't cover what God is doing because they can't see it. You can't report something you can't see. That's why it's so important for you to be born again. Because once you're born again, then now you're able to observe the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. Because it's invisible. That's why they're not telling all the good things that God is doing in the earth. Because they can't see it. But it's working. It's happening. God is winning. God is winning. God is winning. Can I speak that in your world? That God is winning. He's winning in your life. God is winning. God is doing a great work in you, and the devil can't stop it. The haters can hate, but they can't block it. You are the church of God, and Jesus is faithful to do a good work in you. Ah, the church is in good hands. The church is expanding outside of religious boundaries. The church has spiritual authority. The church has been gifted with victory. We are victorious, church. The church is being sanctified. That means we're getting better and better and better and better and better. Come on, somebody. We're being sanctified. That means that you're getting better and better and better and better and better. Can't nobody stop you from getting better. The devil can't block you from getting better. You're getting better because the Spirit of the Lord is doing a great work in you. And as soon as you observe it by faith, he will begin to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And the devil may try to kill you, but he can't. He'll try to steal from you, but he won't. He'll try to attack you with sickness, but you are more than conquerors. And by his stripes, you've been healed. Come on now. When you know what God has for you, you will not accept anything less. I refuse to accept anything less than God's best for his church. I am the church. Hallelujah. The church is more than a building. And beloved, the church will survive. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the news report is. The church will survive. The church, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, is doing a great, good, eternal work in this earth. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Because that's the reason he sent the Son of God, to destroy the works of the devil. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands, the feet. We are the movement of God within the earth. And when you understand who you are, You would live out your destiny. You would live out your dream. You would be victorious in everything. Everywhere you walk, you will find success. Everything you touch will turn to gold. All in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for another move by your Spirit. We thank you for another word. We thank you for this encouragement. We thank you for the state of the church in 2024. We give you glory. We thank you that we are in good hands with the Almighty. We thank you that you are expanding your kingdom outside of the religious boundaries of man. We thank you that we have your authority. We have your power resting upon us. We give you praise for the gift of victory. And we declare that we're going to walk in it. We're going to talk victory. We're going to live victorious. We thank you for your sanctifying, progressive work that you are bringing to completion. And that you will finish on the day of redemption. We thank you that we are more than just an assembly of people. We are more than just a building, but we are the kingdom of God. We are glory carriers. We are world changers by your power. And we thank you that we're going to survive, that we're going to live. We're going to live forevermore, that we have eternal life, and we're going to live with you. And we thank you that while we're down here in this earth, that we will continue to do a good work. We pray that we will continue to be good people. We pray that you continue to work on us, shape us and make us and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, your Son. As we give you glory, honor, and praise this day, now, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. For more information, you can go to my website at herbiemack.org. I'll see you next time. Until then, be the church.